Vision Australia, blindness and low vision services.
Welcome to this demonstration of the iPad Mini. And I thought, in order to get this demonstration out quickly, I'm just going to record it in my boy's playroom using the Victor Stream and, of course, the iPad Mini. So you won't have the benefit of the sound going through the mixer. The iPad Mini will just be speaking out loud, as it were, in the room with the Victor Stream, recording both my voice and the voice of the iPad Mini. So let me just say that I've currently got my iPad Mini turned on, voiceovers running, and the iPad Mini itself is currently locked. So before we start getting into the iPad Mini, I'll just let you first of all know what was in the box when I got the iPad Mini. And basically you have the iPad Mini, the Getting Started Guide, the Lightning to USB cable, and the USB charger. So in the box, there's actually no headphones at all, either the earpods that come with the Nano that have got no mic, or the earpods that come with a mic with the iPhone 5. The main features of the iPad Mini are the 7.9-inch screen, so it is definitely smaller, of course, than the 9.7-inch screen of the standard iPad. And that's not a bad way to remember it, because if you remember that the iPad itself is 9.7-inch diagonal screen, and the iPad Mini is exactly the other way around, a 7.9-inch screen. The iPad Mini is 23% thinner and 53% lighter than the standard iPad. The body of the iPad Mini, of course, is the aluminium, as the US would say, or as we say in Australia, an aluminium encased closure, of course, with the glass touchscreen on the front. The screen resolution of the LCD screen is 1024x768. The processing chip is a dual-core A5 processor. We have, of course, the FaceTime and EyeSight cameras, and the EyeSight camera being 5 megapixel. The battery life of the iPad Mini is 10 hours, of course, depending on what you're doing. The iPad Mini has a built-in mic. There are two stereo speakers as opposed to one speaker found in the iPad, and those speakers are on either side of the connector at the bottom of the iPad Mini. iPad Mini, of course, comes in a Wi-Fi or Wi-Fi / 3G / 4G in Australia, LTE versions. And of course, the sizes are 16, 32 or 64 gigabytes. And the SIM card for the cellular connectivity is like the iPhone 5, which is a nano SIM. Color-wise, you can get the iPad Mini in black and slate, or white and silver. The iPad Mini, of course, is capable of doing AirPlay mirroring to either an Apple TV or through cabling to a digital TV through the necessary connector cables that you can get now with the Lightning cable. Of course, as the iPad Mini is indeed an iPad, you've got access to over 275,000 iPad-specific apps available from the Apple App Store. So that's some of the major features to do with the iPad Mini. Let me just go through a physical description of the unit. So I'm currently holding it in my hand in portrait mode. So I have the home button down the bottom towards me, and of course the earphone jack and the power sleep at the top facing away from me. So we'll start at the top and we'll go clockwise around the iPad Mini. So the top edge on the left hand side is the 3.5mm headphone jack. Over on the right hand side of the top edge is the power / sleep button. On the right hand side edge of the iPad mini, coming just down from the top corner, a couple of finger spaces down, is the orientation or mute switch. And by default, that switch is actually the mute switch. Now I've currently changed mine to orientation lock or unlock. So if I push it up,
orientation unlocked.
Orientation unlocked. If I push mine down,
orientation locked.
Orientation lock, so it's a slide switch up or down. Below that mute slash orientation switch are two separate buttons, one for volume up and one for volume down. And what you'll notice is that the volume up on the iPad is more of a single switch rocker for volume up and volume down. On the iPad mini, the volume buttons are separated. So the top button is volume up, the bottom button is volume down. The rest of the right edge is blank. Coming down to the bottom edge of the iPad mini, in the middle you have the new Lightning connector. And remember, that's the small connector now rather than the 30 pin connector found on the iPad 3. Of course, the new iPad, which is the iPad 4, as of this recording, now has the new Lightning connector as well. So basically, Apple's in some ways completed their transition, because you have that Lightning connector now on the iPod Nano, iPod Touch, iPhone, the new iPad, as in the iPad 4th generation, and of course, the new fantastically handy and light iPad mini. On either side of that connector, that's where the two stereo speakers are located, and you'll actually feel a grill that is over those speakers on either side of the connector for the Lightning cable. Coming over to the left hand edge of the iPad mini, because my particular model is a Wi-Fi only model, the left hand edge is completely blank. I'm assuming that on a cellular Wi-Fi iPad mini, that the nano SIM slot is probably going to be up the top left hand edge, just below the top corner, as it is located on currently the iPad. Now if we come back to the top edge of the iPad mini, in the middle of that edge is actually the hole for the microphone. If you come to the front face of the iPad mini, of course, the majority of the front face is taken up by the multi-touch touchscreen. And at the top middle of that screen is the FaceTime camera. If we come right down to the bottom edge in the middle and come up a little bit, we find the indented round home button. Now if I turn the iPad mini over, so now I've got the face of the iPad mini facing the floor and the back's now facing up towards the ceiling. At the top left hand edge, on the back of course, you'll find a little round hole, and that's actually the hole for the EyeSight camera or rear camera, as I said earlier on, which is 5 megapixels. And of course, about in the middle of the iPad, you have a very smooth round shape, of course, which is the Apple logo. Now, it's interesting to note that the actual sides of the iPad mini, it feels like they're not a straight edge, but they're not as curved or pronounced as the edge in the iPad. So the straight edge is, of course, along each side. And then as it goes towards the back, it's rounded off, but as I said, not so dramatically as the curvature on the iPads. Now, just as a note for charging, remember that on the USB charger, with most Apple devices, that you can take the actual connector off and extend the charger cable with an extender cable that you can buy for Apple that actually plugs into that charger and of course plugs into the power outlet on the wall in the other end to extend your cable if you need more cable charging distance. Of course, the iPad mini has all the usual assistive technology as it does in iOS 6, and of course they are VoiceOver, the screen reader, Zoom, the screen magnification, large fonts, specifically in contacts, calendar, mail, etc., invert colors, speak auto text, mono audio, so putting the left and right stereo into one mono channel, guided access to make applications easier to use, and also to prevent people coming out of applications or areas of an application where you don't want a person activating by accident. Assistive touch to allow ease of access to various default gestures or custom gestures, the home button, and so on. And of course, the famous triple click, where you can assign the triple click home button to perform various actions such as running VoiceOver, running Zoom, checking which one you want to actually access by bringing up a dialog box, etc. And of course, I've currently got my triple click for the home button set to VoiceOver toggle. So if I want to press it three times, turn the VoiceOver off, press it again three times, turn VoiceOver back on for me. And remember that, of course, now with iOS 6, all the accessibility options now work in conjunction with each other. So for example, you definitely can use VoiceOver and Zoom at the same time now. And another note to make about VoiceOver in particular, remember, of course, you can also navigate and use the entire iPad mini in this case using a Bluetooth keyboard or a Bluetooth braille display as well. Now, when I got my iPad mini, it actually came with iOS 6.0. And when I set it up on my Mac, I was requested via the software update to update to iOS 6.0.1. And that's what my iPad mini now is currently running. I was actually able to use my existing iPad image off my iPad 3 to basically restore that from iCloud onto the iPad mini. So I've now got exactly the iPad setup that my standard size iPad has got. I've got the same folder structure, apps, etc., now on my iPad mini. So there is a smart cover available for the iPad mini itself, as there are for the iPad 2 and the newer iPads. Basically, that's where you take the cover off, and because it's magnetically attached, when the magnets come off, it unlocks the iPad. When you put it back on again, it locks the iPad. At the moment, I actually don't have one of those cases on my iPad mini. And keep in mind, of course, that both the iPad and the iPad mini, they're not a phone device. However, you can use VoIP applications to make voice or voice and video calls, i.e. Skype, and of course FaceTime. Another note about the iPad and the iPad mini, they actually don't vibrate for specific actions as the iPhone does. As I said earlier on, the mute switch can be both used as by default the mute switch and also the orientation lock switch. Now, I'll just show you on my iPad if you want to actually use the mute switch where it currently is located now that I've got my orientation lock switch. So I'm actually going to unlock my iPad mini by just pressing the home button.
11:36.
Okay, I'll take my finger down the bottom left hand side of the screen. Of course, I'm running VoiceOver.
Slide to unlock.
Okay, now it says slide to unlock. I'm just going to one finger double tap.
Messages.
Now, what you might have noticed, I've actually got my hints in VoiceOver currently turned off. And what I'm actually going to do is, because I've got my speech rate set on my rotor, I'm going to do a two-finger rotate on the rotor with VoiceOver.
Words.
Till I get to speech rate.
Speech rate.
And do a one-finger swipe down.
40%, 35%, 30%.
Okay, just slow voice down a little bit. Okay, so the option to, in my case, use the mute switch, now that my physical mute switch is set to orientation lock, it's in your app switcher. So I'm going to press the home button twice. 1, 2.
App switcher, settings.
Okay, now to get to the previous screen, I'm going to do a 3-finger swipe to the right to go left.
Page 1 of 8.
Okay, so I'm on page 1 of 8. 8 being the number of applications that I've got open on the app switcher, going from the most recent up to page 8 for the oldest app that I've currently used, which is probably not that much anyway, since I only got this iPad on Friday and I'm doing the recording of the iPad mini on Sunday. Okay, so let me touch the left-hand side of the screen here.
Dismiss app switcher.
Then I'll do 1-finger flip to the right.
Mute. Unmuted. Button.
Okay, so there's the actual mute switch on the first screen of the app switcher. So if I double tap it.
Mute. Muted.
Okay, now I do 1-finger flick to the right.
When darkness falls, unabridged.
Okay, you might not be able to hear this on the recording.
Muted. Button.
But I'm now no longer hearing the clicks from VoiceOver. So if I do 1-finger double tap again.
Mute. Unmuted.
Now I do 1-finger flick to the right.
When darkness falls,
I get a click now back out of VoiceOver.
Mute. Unmuted. Button.
Okay, so I've got the mute turned off again. So let me just come out of the app switcher for the moment by just pressing the home button.
Messages.
Now, if you want to actually do that orientation lock switch yourself, I'll just show you where you do it. Now, remember that this is the image for my iPad, now that I've got it on my iPad mini, and some of my icons on the screen are laid out slightly differently. So let me touch to the third bottom of my current home screen.
Alarmed.
I'll do 1-finger flick to the left.
With a bug. Talk CCal, default iPad camera and photo apps folder, newsstand folder, settings.
Okay, there's settings, 1-finger double tap.
Settings.
And I'm going to drag my finger down the left hand side. Of course, I've got 1-finger flick down as well.
Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, do not disturb notification, selected, general, button.
Okay, there's general, which is currently selected. If it wasn't selected, I could double tap. Now I'm going to touch on the right hand side of the screen because that's where that panel is now.
Spotlight search. Button.
Okay, let me do 1-finger flick to the right.
Auto lock. Passcode lock. Restrictions. Use side switch to. Heading.
Okay, use side switch. Then 1-finger flick to the right.
Selected. Lock rotation.
Okay, that's selected lock rotation, which is currently what I've currently selected. 1-finger flick to the right again.
Mute.
And that's mute. So I could do 1-finger double tap now to put that physical switch back to mute. Of course, which would then mean that the orientation switch option would then be on the first screen of the app switcher. Okay, so let me just press the home button and go back to the main home screen.
Settings.
Now remember on the current iOS 6, which of course the iPad mini is running, on the iPad versions of iOS, you actually don't have a weather application, calculator, or voice memo. But replacements for those three are definitely easy to get. So for example, with the calculator, I actually use the talking calculator from a developer in Australia. For the voice memo, I use two main recording applications. One is called List Recorder, and the other one that I use quite a lot is called DropVox. That's DROPV for Victor OX. And of course, that's a simple to use recording application that saves recordings to my Dropbox folder. Now, of course, with the iOS 6 yet again, we don't have YouTube anymore. However, you can download that from the App Store. And of course, Maps is now Apple's Maps, no longer Google Maps. Now, a really good thing about using the iPad now, particularly with iBooks, is that you've got access to the full range of iBooks in the iBooks store, particularly those iBooks that are developed by the iBooks author, because they will actually not display on an iPod Touch or an iPhone. They're only for the full iPad or the iPad Mini. So now you've got an iPad Mini, you don't have any restrictions anymore on accessing iBooks on the iBooks store. Now, for those that are not familiar with using an iPad, you can of course run iPhone or iPod Touch like apps on your iPad, but because they're not full sized iPad apps, they only take up a small portion of the screen. So let me just show you what happens when you run an iPhone / iPod Touch app on your iPad and what you need to do to make it fill up more of the screen. So of course we're still sending it at my home screen. I've got my automatic lock set to about 5 minutes, so the iPad mini hasn't locked yet. So on my dock down the bottom, it's going to touch the bottom left hand side.
Dock, mail, 46 new items.
On the dock of your iPad or iPad mini, instead of having 4 items on your dock, you've actually got 6. So for me at the moment, my ones in particular, I've got mail on the left hand side, and if I do one finger flick to the right,
Safari.
I've got Safari, which is the web browser.
Music.
Music, which is the old iPod music player system. So basically it's now called Music, as it does on all the iOS devices now. One finger flick to the right.
Books folder, 7 apps.
That's my books folder. One finger flick to the right.
Productivity folder,
that's 92 my productivity new items, folder. 12 apps. One finger flick to the right again.
Social folder,
and
10
that's
new
my
items,
social
16
folder.
Apps.
Okay, so I'm going to do one finger flick back to the left with VoiceOver.
Productivity folder, books folder,
okay,
7 apps.
Open up books, one finger double tap.
Books, opened.
Okay, one finger flick to the right again.
Audible.
And that's my Audible app. I'm just going to launch Audible by just doing one finger double tap.
When Darkness Falls, Unabridged, back button.
Okay, now as you heard on my app switcher, that was the book I was currently listening to via my Audible app. Now, let's go and touch towards the bottom third of the screen, just above my home button. Okay, and as you can tell, I'm just dragging my finger around the bottom third of the screen. There's nothing there. If I go further up the middle of the screen,
rewind button.
Okay, there's the bottom of the window for the Audible app. Because the Audible app I've got running currently on the iPad mini, as it is on my iPad and iPhone and iPod Touch for that matter, is an iPhone version, if you like, that's just taking up a small window in the bigger, in my case, iPad mini screen. So what you've got down the bottom right-hand side of the screen, if I take my finger on the bottom right-hand side of the touch screen,
switch to full screen mode button.
Is a switch to full screen mode button. Now, for sighted folks, it's basically called the double button or the 2x button to double size the application. So if I double tap it with one finger, which calls a VoiceOver command.
Switch to normal mode.
Okay, so switch to normal mode would go back to the smaller iPhone type screen in the middle. But now if I go back down to my home button, come up a little bit.
Volume, 100%, okay. Adjustable.
There's the bottom of the Audible app, now taking up most of the iPad, i.e. iPad mini, screen. Okay, so you can run iPhone / iPod Touch apps on an iPad, an iPad mini. To make them take up more of the screen, you just go down the bottom right-hand side and double tap. By default, if it's small, it'll say full screen to make it take up a much larger part of the screen. So let me just press the home button to come out of the Audible app.
Books opened.
I'm just going to press home button again to go back to my home screen.
Messages.
Now just a point for navigation, which I did sort of briefly mention when we're going into settings. Applications or folders like settings, the screen is sometimes divided into sections, or as VoiceOver calls them, containers, so that what happens in one part of the screen updates another portion of the screen on the same screen that you can switch to with VoiceOver. So let me just demonstrate that by just going back into settings again.
Newsstand folder. 3 items.
I just touch my screen and one finger flick to the left to find settings.
Settings.
One finger double tap.
Settings.
Okay, so for example, let me touch my finger on the left hand side.
Settings. Airplane mode on. Wi-Fi off button.
Okay, so my Wi-Fi is currently turned off and one finger double tap.
Selected. Wi-Fi off.
Okay, now I've actually selected Wi-Fi on the left-hand side. Now it's updated the right-hand side of the screen. Now I could just touch the right-hand side of the screen towards the top to find out about my Wi-Fi connections and what's available. But if I do this with VoiceOver, I do a two-finger rotate around to containers.
Volume. Hints. Containers.
One finger flick up.
Wi-Fi. Heading.
I'm now on the Wi-Fi heading on the right-hand side of the screen. Now if I do one finger flick to the right.
Wi-Fi. Off. Using location services requires turning on Wi-Fi. Heading.
Okay, so one finger back to the left.
Wi-Fi. Off.
One finger double tap.
Wi-Fi. On.
Okay, I'm going to turn Wi-Fi on. And if I want to get back to the other section of the screen where we had this, where I selected Wi-Fi in the left-hand side, one finger flick up.
Wi-Fi. Heading.
One finger flick up again.
Airplane mode. On.
Okay, I'm now on the left-hand side. One finger flick to the right.
Selected. Wi-Fi. Woody. Button. Bluetooth. Off. Button. Do not disturb. Off. Notifications.
And so button. On. So you actually really don't have to move your hand around the screen at all in some ways if you just want to use the writer to switch between those containers on the screen. And of course, if those containers are not there, it actually won't come up in the writer. So you won't have to wonder whether an app has got the containers or not. Okay, so let me just press the home button to go back to my home screen.
Settings.
Now I find because it's a much bigger screen than the iPhone or the iPod Touch, there's much more room for gesturing whether the iPad Mini's in portrait mode or landscape mode, i.e. sideways. And of course, remember with VoiceOver, VoiceOver will tell you whether the iPad Mini is in portrait, landscape, etc. i.e. it tells you where on the actual physical front panel your home button currently is, whether it's left, right, etc. Now I find when I'm typing, I can actually hold my hands on either side of the iPad physically and I can actually get access to the whole on-screen keyboard by just using my thumbs. Of course, that depends also on how big your hands are. Now, another really good thing about the iPad Mini, of course, being an iPad, is the fact that you've got access to the multitasking gestures that you can use on the iPad itself. So I'll just show you what they are, and then I'll show you how to get access to them and turn them on if you wish. So the first one that I find is very nice, and these are either using four or five fingers, is the four finger flick up or swipe up to go to your app switcher. So I'm going to do that now. Four finger flick up.
Settings.
Okay, there's my app switcher.
Dismiss app switcher.
Okay, I'll set it one finger flick to the left and one finger double tap.
Messages.
Okay, if I go into an app, so let me just choose one at random. I'm going to hit the middle of my screen with my finger.
Clock.
Okay, let me go to the clock. One finger double tap.
Clock. World clock. Edit. Button.
Okay, now if I want to switch to another application, I'm going to do a four finger swipe to the left.
Switching to iBooks.
Okay, there's iBooks.
iBooks. Library. Button.
Four finger flick to the left again.
Switching to iTunes. iTunes. History. Button.
Okay, now if I do a four finger flick to the right and go backwards.
Switching to iBooks. iBooks. Library.
Okay,
four button.
Finger flick to the right again.
Switching to clock. Clock. World clock. Edit. Button.
Now, of course, it's switching to apps that I've already been running or accessed before, because it's basically switching. It's like pressing Command Tab or Alt Tab to switch between running applications on a computer. And then if I want to get back to the home screen or exit out of an application, it's a four finger pinch. So I'm going to use basically four fingers and then my thumb to pinch together.
Clock.
Okay, and I've gone back to clock on the home screen. So basically it's four finger flick up for the app switcher, four finger flick left or right to switch between applications, and a four finger pinch with your thumb to activate the home button. Now where you turn it on is in settings. So let me just go into settings on the home screen again.
New stand folder.
One finger
three
flick
items.
To the left.
Settings.
One finger double tap.
Settings.
Let me just drag my finger on the left hand side to find general.
Do not dis notification general button.
One finger double tap on general.
Selected. About button.
Touch over the right hand side of the screen.
Auto lock. 5 minutes.
One finger
button.
Flick to the right.
Passcode lock restrictions. Use side switch selected. Lock rope mute. Mute is available in multitasking gestures. On.
Okay, multitasking gestures are currently on, i.e. it was on before for my existing image off my other iPad. If I one finger double tap now, it would actually turn those gestures off.
Use four or five fingers to.
Information. Use four or five fingers to. One finger flick to the right.
Bullet pinch to the home screen. Bullet swipe up to reveal multitasking bar. Bullet swipe left or right between apps.
So that's it for the multitasking gestures. I'm just press the home button myself to go back to the home screen.
Settings.
Now, another thing I want to tell you about the iPad Mini, of course, is we have the ability to actually use Siri, which, of course, is the personal voice recognition assistant that is now available on the new iPod Touch and, of course, the newer iPads, the iPad 3 and the iPad 4, and, of course, the iPad Mini. And because I've got my iPad mini now on my Wi-Fi network, I can actually use Siri. So I'd activate Siri the first time in conjunction with VoiceOver. Really, I'm just going to hold down the home button. What is the weather today in Gosford? Release the home button.
You said, what is the weather today in Gosford? The weather's looking good for Gosford today, up to 23 degrees and partly sunny. Current conditions for Gosford, 19 degrees, partly cloudy daytime, high 23, low 17.
Okay. Now, once I've got the Siri interface on the screen, I can now just do a two-finger double tap using VoiceOver, which will allow me then to ask it a question, and then I can do a two-finger double tap straight away rather than waiting for the unit to time out. Okay, so for example, let me check my appointments for Monday. Double tap. Do I have any appointments tomorrow? Two-finger double tap.
You said, do I have any appointments tomorrow? You don't have any appointments on your calendar for tomorrow.
Okay, that's because I've got a day off tomorrow. And of course, I can ask Siri what the time is. Two-finger double tap. What is the time, Siri? Two-finger double tap.
You said, what is the time, Siri? The time is 12 p.m. Narara, 12 p.m. today.
Ah, let's find what the time is in Los Angeles. Two-finger double tap. What is the time in Los Angeles? Two-finger double tap.
You said, what is the time in Los Angeles? In Los Angeles, CA, US, it's 6 p.m. Los Angeles, 6 p.m. yesterday.
Okay, so that's 6 p.m. last night, current time in Los Angeles, as I'm doing this recording in Australia at 12 p.m. midday. And the final thing I wanted to just show you about Siri, of course, is you can actually launch applications. So I'm going to do a two-finger double tap. Open Downcast.
Downcast. Apple and other accessible technology. 2x playback speed is on. Button.
There we go. So it's opened up Downcast and purely by accident, and it really was by accident, it's actually opened up on the screen for my Apple and other accessible technologies podcast that, of course, you can get from iTunes. Okay, so I'm going to pinch this time to activate the home button. So four-finger pinch with thumb.
Messages.
Touch the screen again, and I'll just go and show you where you can turn Siri on if you're not really sure where you can turn it on. I'm going to touch the middle of my screen.
Default iPad camera and photo apps folder.
One finger flick to the left.
Newsstand folder. Settings.
One finger double tap on settings.
Settings.
Now, because I know Siri is actually in general, and we previously selected general already, I'm just going to touch the right-hand side of my screen towards the top.
General. Heading.
Okay, one finger flick to the right, and we'll get down to Siri by just flicking to the right.
About. Button. Software update. Usage. Button. Siri. Button.
Okay, there's Siri. One finger double tap.
Settings. Siri. On.
Okay, so as you can tell, the Siri is currently on. If I one finger double tap, now I turn it off, which means you would lose all your previously stored data about your usage of Siri on the Apple service if you turn that off now. One finger flick to the right, but keep in mind though, it's actually off by default.
Siri helps you get things done just by asking. You can make a FaceTime call, send a message, dictate a note, or check the weather. Heading. About Siri and privacy. Link. Language. English. Australia. Button.
Okay, so I've currently got mine set to
new
English, Australia.
New notification from Downcast. Downcast. All podcast feeds have been refreshed. Six new episodes detected. Six marked for streaming.
Thank you, Downcast. So one finger flick to the right again.
Voice feedback. Always.
Voice
button.
Feedback. Always.
My info. David Woodbridge. Button.
That's my info, who I am, my details, etc. from my contacts.
To talk to Siri, press and hold the home button and speak. Heading.
And that's it. So let me just press the home button.
Settings.
Now, one thing I should mention about Siri, because we've now got Siri, we also have voice dictation as well now. So, for example, let me just press my home button again for my main home screen.
Search field is editing. Search iPad.
Okay. Now, I'm going to touch the bottom of my screen where the space bar is.
Dock. Space.
Okay. One finger flick to the left.
Dictate.
And there's my dictate button. So if I want to search for a song, for example, Pure Imagination, I'm going to do one finger double tap, you'll hear a beep, then I'll say Pure Imagination, and I'll one finger double tap again, and that'll send my, in this case, dictation off to the Apple servers and plonk it back in the search field for Spotlight on my iPad. So one finger double tap, Pure Imagination.
Thinking, ellipse, Pure Imagination. Top search result, music. Pure Imagination, from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, featuring Jory, Froggy Frog versus Axel F. Crazy Ringtone, Ford. Top hit, 3 items found.
Let me touch towards the top of the screen.
Music. Pure Imagination.
There's the song. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Selected, music. Pure Imagination, from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
And of course, in voiceover, two finger double tap to stop the music playing. So I'm going to press the home button to go back to my home screen.
Messages.
And that completes this demonstration of the iPad Mini, both in using the iPad Mini as a smaller platform than the full size iPad. Some tips and tricks to do with iOS 6 and running apps that are designed to run on the smaller iPhone and iPod touchscreen, and some just general things that you can do with Siri. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
Vision Australia, blindness and low vision services.